Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Second big hour of our Big Tuesday Open Forum. Any question that you might have about the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, we welcome those. You want to know what Catholics think about moral issues, about the sacraments, about priests, about Jesus, about the Bible. We are taking all comers today, and you do not have to be Catholic to call. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples is the Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, and he is our guest this hour. Hi, Tim.
Well, Cy Kellett, how are you?
I am very, very well. I'm starting to – I think Advent's starting to have an effect on me. I'm
Amen.
Getting going in
right,
with Advent.
Yeah. Right from the get-go. We were talking about just before we went on the air how blessed we are to have our new chaplain slash apologist, Father Hugh Barber. And those of you who have seen him, heard him, you will realize very quickly what we were talking about. Not only is this man a genius, he is brilliant, but he is holy. He gave a homily this morning that was, I mean, wow. Oh, what an Advent homily of focusing on the incarnation and the great gift that Jesus Christ is and how he came as a baby, as a child.
It's hard to describe how Father preaches in the morning here.
Yeah, yes.
You feel like the entire intellectual power of the church is being marshaled, but all of it in the service of love and of the gospel. Not a bit of it is pretentious. Did you see that they have a video camera in there? Or they did last week?
Yes.
I think they should probably start putting them online, these homilies. I think people would
love to hear. Recording them, and they're just off the charts, ridiculously good.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
We are blessed here at Catholic Answers, and you all are going to be blessed because you're going to be able to hear and perhaps see these homilies as well.
Yeah. I did make fun of him one day because we were doing The Chaplain Is In, and someone wanted to basically get permission from him to not be nice to somebody, to dismiss them from her life. And he made the worst kind of paraphrase of Patrick Coffin's catchphrase. Remember, be a saint, what else is there?
Yeah.
Father said, he goes, well, you got to be a saint. Sorry. And I was like, that's got to be your catchphrase now. You got to be a saint. Sorry.
But
that's the thing is, he's not going to let you off the hook.
Yeah.
You're called to a very high calling if you've been called to be a disciple of Christ. And man, he's a lovable guy.
Amen.
All right. Well, open forum means you get to call and ask about anything you want. Tim is the author of Nuts and Bolts, a guide. Come on, help me out. A practical. I knew there was a modifier in there.
A practical guide to apologetics and evangelization. Practical. Just think practical and you'll have it.
Okay. And also Behold Your Mother.
Yes.
Which I think we should do a pre-recorded show and talk about that on Friday because it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that.
We already did it, folks.
All right. Tons of people on the line. Tim, how about we go to Anne in Phoenix, Arizona, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Anne, your question for Tim Staples.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Anne.
Yes.
Hang on, Anne. Are you there, Anne?
Oh, Anne, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
No.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, don't be sorry, Anne. I think it was my fault. I have not been good with the buttons today. So your question for Tim.
That's okay. All right. Hi, Tim. All right. Thank you, Cy. Hi, Tim. My question is, I was baptized outside of the Catholic Church, a Baptist, and my ex-husband and I, we married in a church. After that, both decided to convert to Catholicism, and we came to the church together. He wasn't baptized when we were married, but as we came into the church together, he was baptized.
Yes.
We have since split up, and he is a practicing Catholic, but he now says that our marriage is not a sacrament. and that he can get an annulment. And I'm under the impression that when we came into the church together, our marriage automatically became a sacrament because we were both baptized.
Right.
And that we didn't have to do any type of co-validation or do anything like that. It was just automatically raised to a sacrament coming into the church.
Right, because you...
Now
just so folks can understand, you had a natural, valid union with your husband, even though he was not baptized. Now, it would not have been sacramental, of course, when you were married, because both of you have to be baptized. But because you have a presumed valid natural marriage, when you came into the church and both of you were baptized, that is true. It doesn't need to be convalidated. The only time you need to have a marriage convalidated would be if your marriage was invalid from the start, and yours is presumed valid. So go ahead.
Okay, so now that he's saying that he can get an annulment due to the fact that he wasn't baptized at the time when we married.
Well, that would not be the reason for the annulment. What the church would have to investigate to see if, in fact, if there were, for example, some impediments not known to me right now that they discover. I mean, certainly it's possible he could get an annulment if there were impediments, in fact. And that's what the church tribunal will have to do, is research to see if there were any impediments at the time of the natural marriage or at the time when you came in the church and you were baptized. If and you know when that natural marriage is presumed then to be sacramental, that's the reason why we have tribunals. The tribunal will have to look into that to see whether that in fact is a valid and sacramental marriage. Obviously, we can't adjudicate that over the radio. That's something that would have to be done by the tribunal. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does make sense. And I was under the impression that's how it worked also. And
yes,
that, you know, simply because he wasn't baptized was not a reason for an annulment, but that there would have to be some reason, something not disclosed at the time of our marriage that would qualify for an annulment.
Correct. Or some impediment, some sort of, it could be known or unknown. That doesn't really matter. But the church is going to, look at that case. But the idea that just having a natural marriage is grounds for an annulment is incorrect. Because now, in fact, we have a lot of folks don't realize this, and in the Catholic Church, we have a very high understanding of natural marriage as well as sacramental marriage, because a natural marriage is indissoluble in an intrinsic sense. In other words, the couple cannot just, say, hey, I'm leaving now, and you are ipso facto divorced. No, that is a natural marriage that can only be dissolved by a supernatural authority, right? And there's various things, the Petrine privilege, Pauline privilege that come into play here when we talk about that. But it's something to ponder in, is that even natural marriage we consider indissoluble in an intrinsic sense. Now, extrinsically, that is by divine authority, a natural marriage can be dissolved, not just annulled, but dissolved. But a valid and consummated sacramental marriage can never be dissolved by any power. It is until death do we part. So at any rate, Ann, great question, and stay in touch. We'd love to hear how things go. We will certainly pray for you and your husband.
Thanks, Ann. Thanks very much. 888-318-7884, our number. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. If you have a question about the Catholic faith, whether you are Catholic or not, we welcome that question. 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this with Tim Staples, Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers.
Don't you just love listening to Tim Staples? Did you know you can book Tim or any of our other great speakers to speak at your parish or special event? Contact one of our seminar coordinators through the Speakers Bureau section on Catholic.com today to find out more information.
We're rapidly coming to the end of the year. Soon, 2017 will be behind us, and 2018 will begin. At Catholic Answers, we need to prepare for that now. You see, the end of the year is a very important time for us. Like most nonprofits, Catholic Answers depends heavily on the generosity of its donors at the end of the year, just before and after Christmas. That's right, Christmas. That's what we Catholics celebrate, not nebulous, religiously neutral holidays or a non-specific season. Catholic Answers is all about promoting Christ and the Catholic faith. It's what we do day in and day out. This time of year is no exception. In fact, the end of the year is when we have our largest fundraising campaign, which provides the foundation for the work we will do in 2018. Also, the tax year ends just after Christmas, and that gives people an extra reason to be generous at this time. Making a donation now will help Catholic Answers do more good, it will help reduce your tax burden, and it will help keep more money out of the government's wasteful hands. Between Christmas generosity and the end of the tax year, Catholic Answers is really counting on your help right now. To learn how you can help and how you can get your free copy of Trent Horn's new DVD, The Protestant Revolution, just go to Catholic.com and click the end of year banner or call us toll free at 888-291-8000. That's the end of year banner at Catholic.com or call toll free 888-291-8000. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett here, your host. Tim Staples is our guest this hour, and it is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live, meaning any question you got, we'll do our very best to answer it. 888-318-7884. Hey, we have a free ebook available. Free ebook. This is like we just give away free stuff all the time now, Tim.
I tell you.
It's called The Case for Christmas, Answers to Attacks on Christmas. You get a free copy of this latest ebook with all this great information answering a lot of the most common attacks on Christmas from non-Christians. Just go to Catholic.com and click on the free ebook banner at the top of the page there and download your free ebook. I know that you are in favor of Christmas. I'm
Oh no, I'm again it.
Yeah, really.
Now, I am a Christmas fanatic, yes.
I want to go to calls. I don't want to hold up too long, but yes. A lot of people maybe don't know that there was a time when there were many Christian people who were against Christmas, America
there still are.
Had suggested the yes, but maybe proportionally fewer. I don't know.
Yeah, among extreme sort of even fundamentalists have become a lot less than they once were against things like Christmas. And then you have some sects that are against birthdays or against all sorts of things. But they've kind of lightened up, especially among the Christian sects. But even some of my Pentecostal forefathers, were anti Christmas, but that quickly went away.
Makes you very unpopular with the kids.
Exactly. I think that's one of the reasons why it went away.
Could you explain to me again, Dad, why no Christmas? Jorge in San Antonio, Texas, watching on Periscope. I think this might be our first Periscope caller. Have we ever gotten a call from Periscope before? Everyone's shaking their head there behind the glass.
Does that mean he's in a submarine?
Yes, he is in a submarine. Someone explain technology to Tim. Jorge, you win the prize today. Unfortunately, the prize is a free ebook, and you just have to go to Catholic.com to get it. But your question for Tim.
Well, it's great. Thank you very much. Just you taking my call is a great gift for me.
Oh, thank you.
It's about two passages in the Bible. One is Isaiah, the vision that has Isaiah in chapter 6.
Yes.
He sees the seraphim calling holy, holy, holy to the Lord.
Yes.
And the other one that is related is St. John's vision in Revelation chapter 4. Where he also sees the cherubim in this case, calling holy, 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 and he sees the elders.
Yes.
In both cases, the seraphim and the cherubim veil their eyes and they don't see God directly, and the elders also fall on their faces. So my question is there a meaning to it? Is this just a matter of humility that we shouldn't be seeing God directly to their eyes, or is there some other kind of meaning to it?
Yes, that's a great question. And remember, Jorge, This is obviously apocalyptic literature, both in Isaiah and in the book of Revelation. So, you know, it uses this apocalyptic language that is not to be understood in a strict literal sense. Now, obviously, angels don't have eyes, right, Jorge? They are pure spirits. They don't see with eyes. Their sight, if you will, is a directly intuited intellectual sight, right? That's kind of, you know, counterintuitive to us as human. What do you mean, intellectual sight? Think of it this way, Jorge. If you're struggling to understand a physics problem and then suddenly you get it, you might say, oh, I see it now, right? We don't mean we see with our eyeballs, but we comprehend with our intellects. And that's the way angels come to know things. It's by a directly intuited intellectual understanding that's referred to as sight. And so the covering of the eyes is a symbol that reveals the awesomeness of God. He is beyond, in fact, as what is it, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, that says, God dwells in light that no man can approach, right? No one can see God, even the angels can't see God in the sense of fully comprehending him. Now, the angels that have a beatific vision do see God, but they comprehend him in accordance with the gift of grace that they have by virtue of way back when at their initial testing, when they were first created and God gave them a test. The angels that were obedient to God attained to a certain level of of beatitude, the beatific vision, in accordance with the gift of grace they have. Plus, each angel is, as Thomas Aquinas says, an individual species, but they're also in choirs of angels, so they have different gifts that are given to them, and in accordance with those gifts, that's the degree that they would comprehend God. But even, Jorge, and this is the cool thing, I think about those texts in Isaiah and Revelation, even though angels with their lofty natures and those who attained to the possession of God and the beatific vision, still God is so infinitely beyond them. And that's what's symbolized here. They cover their eyes. They are in absolute awe. I love that in Revelation chapter 5 as well, you see the blessed in heaven, and they too are offering all that they are to God. And one of the words used, Si, this is cool. Did you know the Bible's cool?
I was aware of that. I had heard rumors anyways.
It's right around, I think it's right around verse 13 there in Revelation 5. It's right around there where one of the things they offer to God is timos, fear. Now, it's not fear as in, oh, I'm afraid. We would call that, you know, a servile fear, like a slave for a master. But it's a filial fear, but it's fear. Even in possession of the beatific vision, even the angels in all their glory still will fear God in that good sense, have that awesome, we will know for all eternity that God is God and we are not.
Yeah.
And he is so awesome. So that's what's, I think, powerfully symbolized here, is the angels cover their eyes. They can't fully comprehend God. He's so far beyond them, even though they do have that intimate relationship with God that, you know, is described in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor is it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. I mean, their understanding and knowledge and love for God is beyond anything we can fathom, as ours will be if we are faithful unto death. So that's what's being symbolized there. Does that help at all, Jorge?
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless.
And thanks for watching on Periscope there. Jorge, Periscope, by the way, for those who don't know, Periscope is the video streaming service of Twitter. So we're on Facebook Live, we're on YouTube, and we're on Periscope. And if anybody else starts a streaming video service, we'll probably do our very best to get on that one,
And it's
too.
Also a thing that goes up in a submarine.
Yes, I am aware
okay,
of that.
Okay, I just thought I would
Do they have Marines on a submarine?
Yes, they do.
They do?
As guards.
Oh, Marines are guards on the submarine?
On the big nukes.
Uh-huh.
I doubt they would have had them in the old World War II jobbers, but I believe they do on the big nukes.
When you're a Marine, were you ever stationed on a ship, or were you always doing
something? I was for a brief time. I was 65 days at sea on the USS Ranger right out of San Diego, and I remember thinking back then, man, I would love to come and live in San Diego someday, and here I am. It was like a pie-in-the-sky dream that would never happen, but Praise God.
How many people has the Navy brought here to San Diego?
Yes, and Marines.
Right, yep. Miguel in Bloomington, California, watching on YouTube, another streaming service watcher. You are on with Tim Staples. Your question, Miguel.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show. I am very honored to be here. And my question is, how is it that Eve and Adam fell into sin when they were in concupiscence? If they had no inclination towards sin, how could they have been misled by the serpent if God had given them all that they wanted?
Right.
Because they were naive or what?
Right. No, great. No, not because they're naive. Au contraire, Miguel. In fact, they would have had a knowledge of God and of reality that far surpassed us. Of course, they wouldn't have known about the internet. But when it comes to what is most important, their knowledge would have far transcended ours, knowing who God is and knowing who they are, which is beautifully symbolized, Miguel, by the way, in Adam naming the animals. I love the way it presents in the, is that the second creation story? Or now I can't remember. But he named the animals, and when he named them, the text of Scripture says, and that was their name, right? So indicating that Adam was so in touch with the creation that what he named them, that was already their name, because that he knew it inside and out. But here's the key, Miguel. Adam and Eve would have had tremendous knowledge, and you're right, they didn't have concupiscence. And remember, concupiscence, it represents the lower appetites that we have, such as, for example, the appetite we have for sexual relations, right? For food, being out of order in relation to right reason. So we're out of whack as a result of original sin when it comes to the lower appetites. Adam and Eve didn't have that. However, they did have the higher powers of the soul, the intellect, right? The will and all of the accompanying powers. So they would have had a great knowledge. That's what the devil goes after, right? He goes after their pride. And the pride is ordered to the higher faculties, the intellectual and the willing. So, hey, did God say you would die? Let me tell you something, right? He doesn't appeal to sex or any of the lower appetites. He can't. So he appeals to their pride. And that is what ensnared them, right? Did God say you're going to die? Look, he knows when you eat that fruit, you're going to be like him. He's holding back on you, man. And it's a fascinating thing here. This is Miguel. Miguel, it's a fascinating thing because what he offers them is what God already gave them.
Right.
Right? They're already created, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in the image and likeness of God. And then the devil says, he knows you'll be like him if you do that. What are you talking about? We're already like him. But he ensnared them in pride because he says, you can become like him by your rules. You can determine how you're going to be like God. Don't let God keep you down. So it's all an appeal to the higher nature, and that's what got him. Does that make sense, Miguel? Same with the devil, by the way. The devil obviously didn't have concupiscence. No angels do. They don't have material bodies. So how did the devil fall? He was created as an angel, right? But just as with the story of Adam and Eve, the angels were originally created in a relationship with God, but not with the beatific vision. In the same way that Adam and Eve were created in a preternatural state, they had sanctifying grace, a union with God that far surpasses ours, right? But they were also in a, what the Catechism of the Catholic Church calls it, for both angels and men, a state of journey, in statu viae in Latin, in a state of journeying toward the ultimate goal of beatification. So God made them both in a state where they had a test and they had to freely choose to obey God. And so both the angels and Adam could only be tempted to fall through a higher nature, in the case of angels, a really high and exalted nature, right? So how did the angels fall? Well, a lot of mystics, fathers of the church, doctors of the church especially, would say they were tempted when God revealed to them his plan, as revealed in Revelation chapter 1 or chapter 12, the first few verses, God revealed that he was planning on becoming incarnate, becoming a man. He laid out his plan of beatifying human nature, redeeming it, and exalting it even above the angels. And the angels were given that as a test. And all the angels rejoiced in God's incredible love and mercy and power in exalting human nature even above the angels through the incarnation, except for the devil. He says, no, I cannot have some these little creatures being greater than me. So it appealed to pride. He fell. And then what does he do? He tempts Adam and Eve in the same way, appeals to their pride.
Miguel, thanks for that question. Open Forum with Tim Staples will continue right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answer's brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We spent our break talking about fast food here in the studio, but we will get back to more serious matters as Tim continues his air drumming. You got it. Yes. There you go. Uh-huh. Yes. Really driving that beat, Tim Staples. Tim Staples is our guest, and open forum means anything that you would like to discuss. We are here to discuss it with you, especially if it has to do with Catholic faith. But also, I have been learning at the break about something called Taco Bueno. I was not familiar with Taco Bueno. I don't know if we have them here in California. Have
no,
you ever seen a
Taco they're not bueno? Here. You got to go back east. Now, our illustrious engineer, sound engineer here, tells us they are in Texas.
Yeah, he's from Texas.
But I was raised on them back in Virginia. I know they're on the East Coast.
Taco Bueno. All right.
Taco Bueno.
I got to travel more. Open forum. Next up, we go to Robert. Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on 740 AM. Robert, your question for Tim Staples. Robert? Is this Robert?
Did we miss Robert?
I do. This time, I know that people are going to make fun of me because I'm not good with the buttons, but that time I got it right. We'll come back to you, Robert. maybe, you know what? He probably went out for some Taco Bueno there. We started talking about it, and he was like, oh, feet don't fail me now. Erica in Columbus, Ohio, listening on 820 AM St. Gabriel Radio. Your question for Tim Staples.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had, about a couple months ago, I had the opportunity to hear the talk of the exorcist of the Diocese of Indianapolis.
Yes.
And it was a really great talk. It was very informative. It took pages of notes. And after, you know, he addressed the different presences or the different demonic presences and the ways that you can open yourself up to evil. After that, I left kind of concerned with the media that I consume, like TV shows and stuff like that, because I don't want to open myself up unknowingly to evil. I have friends that think I'm being a little crazy about it, but I just wanted to know, specifically the show Vikings. I think it kind of romanticizes paganism, but I did enjoy it as a TV show. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on consuming that type of movie?
Sure. You know, I can't speak to Viking because I've never seen it. And I must tell you, Erica, that my wife prevailed upon me. In fact, she had been suggesting it for the last couple of years. We need to get rid of the cable, Tim. And I said, but I need ESPN. I've got to watch the basketball playoffs. I've got to watch the NFL and all of this. And she finally prevailed upon me. And I'm going to tell you something. It was, I think, one of the best decisions I've made in a long time to get that cable out of the house. Because to me, Erica, the shows on television today are just off the charts. The level of immorality, it's now as a given in these shows that are on prime time.
Yep.
Sai, I mean, I'm old. I'm 53 years old. I was raised on, you know, the most risque thing we had on TV back in 1970 was, you know, Andy Griffith. Now, Aunt B, she was showing a little ankle. You know what I'm saying? There's a little ankle showing there. I mean,
come on now, Tim.
But I'm serious. That was it. And what it has devolved to today, and you know, Erica, I know I'm going to sound like an extremist here. I'm not telling everybody you have to get rid of your cable, although I will say it was a great decision on our part, because now we watch old movies with our kids. Our kids love – I've talked to you about this, Si. Our kids love Going My Way and Bells of St. Mary's and, you know, Boys Town and all the old movies. If you came to my house, Erica, I've got a ridiculous number of movies, and these are movies that are uplifting and virtuous, right? You know, It's a Wonderful Life. Now that it's Christmas, we've already watched it about three times. We're going crazy this year. You know, we usually watch it once at Thanksgiving and once at Christmas, but we're going nuts this year. So I say all that to say this, Erica, that I do believe if you read the document from Vatican II on social communications. And then there was a post-conciliar document as well on social communications. Both of those documents are prophetic. In fact, the document from Vatican II on social communications says that the media, in fact, exhorted the church to use the media for evangelistic purposes. And there's a line in there. I'm not going to get it exactly right. It's been a few years since I've seen it. But it says something to the effect of, if we do not use this media, the enemy of our souls will.
Amen.
And the fact is, the church failed. I know a lot of bishops and bishops' conferences made noble attempts. I personally believe it was the laity that was supposed to do it, not the bishops. The bishops are shepherds. We're the sheep. We're the ones that are out here making more sheep, right? Not shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep, right? I mean, they shepherd us. We're the ones that should be doing it. Thanks be to God, Mother Angelica came on board many years later after the council. But the bottom line is that document was prophetic. The devil is using television to destroy the morals of this generation, and it is, I'm sorry for those who think I'm an extremist. You're wrong. I'm not. The fact is, we have a generation of young people today who have no concept what it is to be a human being any longer. Everything is just sex. It's promiscuity. It's glorified. you know, a few years ago, there was a show, Sex and the City. Mm. I actually watched part of a couple. I couldn't make it through the whole thing. It was disgusting. It was, I mean, just, it's outrageous how far we have fallen as a culture. And I'm going to tell you, the fathers at Vatican II were prophetic. That's exactly what's happened. And so, Erica, here's my take. I don't believe we should just, even though I got rid of my cable, I don't believe we should just get rid of everything. I do believe that we need to do like what our friends at Metanoia Films are doing. Leo Severino, who's going to be on this broadcast pretty soon, isn't he? Promoting his new book, which is excellent, by the way, called Going Deeper. It's an excellent, very simple, apologetic book. He did a great job. It's easy to understand. But Leo Severino and the boys at Metanoia Films, who have made Bella and Little Boy, have another movie coming out on the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary. They are going into Hollywood. Our friend Kevin James and other Catholics, Jim Caviezel and others, are going into Hollywood to transform it from the inside out. And I think that's what we need to do. But Erica, in the meantime, as we're doing that, I do believe we need to protect ourselves and our families. And at the very least, we should have filter systems. We have one called ClearPlay that helps us with movies and stuff that filters things. We really do need to. Our kids are under assault. The enemy of our souls hates children, because children are pure. They love God, right? Jesus said we have to have the faith of a child, right? Children are so pure. He is attacking them.
Yes.
And as you know, Mel Gibson said it the other day.
Did he?
And he's getting hammered for it. Mel Gibson said, Hollywood is a cesspool. And in particular, he said, how they have gone after children now for decades.
God bless him for saying it.
Is absolutely immoral, and mm-hmm. that is a fact. Protect yourself and your children.
Erica, was that enough of an answer for you? Did you need more passion? How's that strike you?
Right. No, that was the best answer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica.
I'd just like to, if I may, Tim, add that there are schools that are doing this too, like John Paul the Great Catholic University up the road from us, who are preparing people to do this. So if you want to be in media, look for these Catholic schools that are expressly preparing people to work in media.
Amen.
And the other thing, I think men in particular, I don't know, but men in particular have to decide, why am I watching this really?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of prurient interest in TV. And I say that in part because I used to know this very old Benedictine priest, now passed on, and he said much like what you said. He gave me the speech like that about TV one day. I was doing an interview with him, and he said that TV is ruining the family.
Oh, it's horrible.
And I said, do you really think it's ruining the family? And he said, Sigh. I hear the confessions.
Yes.
And so I really do think men have to ask themselves, why am I watching this? Like, what is it that's attracting me to this? And is that something that's helping me in my marriage, helping me be a better father? Or is it really...
You know what? I am so grateful to God for my wife, Valerie.
Right.
Because she is such a good influence on me, because my tendency is, you know. And she stayed on it and stayed on me. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I know I'm weak. Mm-hmm. I am weak. I am a sinner. You know, I'd like to think I'm 53 years old. You know, I'm getting holier. No, I feel like I'm weaker than ever. And so I, you know, as the St. Paul says, flee temptation. Notice he doesn't say, oh, tough it out.
Yeah, right.
Endure.
Yeah.
You're strong. Endure. No, you run in the other direction. Like, was it Potiphar's wife? Right. Oh, my gosh. Joseph and Potiphar's wife, right? He run when she wanted him. Yeah. He took off and ran, and she had a handful of clothes. But he was gone.
And remember,
I mean, he ended up getting accused and all sorts of things as a result of that. But that didn't matter to Joseph. What mattered was purity.
Yeah.
And you know what? I would suggest, Si, he knew how weak he was as well, and we all are, folks. Don't look at me with halos on your heads, because you don't have them. And I don't either. We need to flee from temptation. And I'm grateful to God, because I am a weak and sinful man. My wife has helped me tremendously.
888-31-TRUTH is the number. Erica, we're really grateful for that question, because it's an important one. And you know what, Darren? I think we ought to do a couple of shows on this. media and the state of media and how we as Catholics should respond.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody better than Tim Staples to get on to talk about it. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live with Tim Staples is coming right back.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale. With hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code WINTER at checkout. With great new resources on Scripture, church history, the saints, Bible prophecy, and so much more. There's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code WINTER at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 10:21, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you reveal them to the childlike. Aren't you glad that you're not wise and learned? What would your life be like if the gospel had never been revealed to you? What would your understanding of death be? What would you live for? What would be the meaning of your life? Blessed are the eyes that see what you see," he said. "Many prophets have longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." Just think of the comfort and strength we receive from the sacraments. We have such sight and knowledge only through the faith that has been revealed to us. We have much need to rejoice in the Holy Spirit as well. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Don't forget, everything at the Catholic Answers shop is on sale, 30% off now through December 10th. 30%, 30% off. You just go to shop.catholic.com, and then everything that you do buy there is $5 flat rate shipping. Just go to shop.catholic.com. It is open forum. I want to share a Facebook question because I haven't gone to Facebook for a long time with you, Tim. Dan on Facebook wants to know, did Jesus quote from any of the Apocrypha books, particularly books that might be in the King James Bible that are not in the Catholic Bible?
From books that are not in the King James?
I said that backwards. Yes,
right,
books
right,
that are not
but
in the King
are
James.
In the Catholic.
Right.
Well, it's a great question, and actually there's not a direct quote from those books. However, there are allusions, and almost you have an almost quote. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus gives us the famous golden rule, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That comes almost verbatim from Tobit chapter 4. Where is that? Around verse 15, as I recall, 15 or 16. Some versions of the of Tobit have the verses a little bit different. But it's right around verses 15 or 16 where Tobit says, "Do not what you would not like to have done unto you."
Right.
So what Jesus does is he takes that from Tobit, flips it over, makes it a positive, but most likely he's referring back to it. And that's what you get often in the New Testament, are references to, and by the way, even, you know, I was reading, a few years ago, Hastings Bible Dictionary, which is a Protestant Bible dictionary, and even the author there acknowledges that Romans chapter 1, where St. Paul talks about how the creation demonstrates the truth of the Creator, even this Protestant author acknowledges what scholars generally acknowledge, that that was a reference back to Wisdom chapter 13.
Uh-huh.
The language that he uses and such, there's no doubt that Paul was well familiar with Wisdom chapter 13. And you have lots of examples like that. I could give you another one in Luke chapter 20. This is a great example of how Jesus praised the Deuterocanonicals. And by the way, our Protestant friends will call the seven books and parts of two books that they parts of Esther and parts of Daniel that they that the Protestants took out also, they'll call them apocryphal. They're not apocryphal. Apocryphal means questionable writings, non-canonical. But these are deuterocanonical books. And by the way, you have deuterocanonicals in the New Testament too. What it means is the later books that were added to the canon were not unanimous from the start. So the deuterocanonicals in the Old Testament, right, Baruch and Wisdom, Tobit and 1st and 2nd Maccabees and all the rest, we call, you know, not apocryphal, but deuterocanonical. But at any rate, in Luke chapter 20, if you remember, Jesus gets kind of caught, as he often does, in the crossfire between the Pharisees and Sadducees. It's always almost comical. It's beautiful and sometimes comical how he gets caught in the crossfire and he ends up nailing both sides usually. But here's a case in Luke 20. Remember, the Sadducees come to Jesus and they say, we've got you. This is, what is this, around verse 19 down to verse 38? It's in that whole section there. And they say, what do you do, Jesus? And now imagine, they're in a battle, the Sadducees with the Pharisees. Remember, the Sadducees deny things like angels and spirit. We don't have immortal souls and such. And they also only accepted the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, whereas the Pharisees accepted all the books that we accept as Catholics, and they accepted, you know, that mm-hmm. we have a naturally immortal soul, eternal life, angels and such. And so the Sadducees come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, what do you do in this situation where a woman has seven husbands? Don't you love it, Si?
Yeah.
They're going, we've got him.
Yeah.
We're going to nail him to the wall. And they're referring to, of course, the book of Tobit once again, mm-hmm. where the story of Sarah, who has seven husbands, and each one of them are killed by the demon Asmodeus, right? So they say, what do you do in the case where you have a woman who has seven husbands and they all die? Whose spouse will she be in the resurrection? Now, they didn't believe in a resurrection. They didn't believe in immortal life. So they knew they had him. And why is that? Because number one, both Pharisees and Sadducees acknowledge there's no polyandry, right? Yes. Polygamy was tolerated by God in early salvation history, though it was eliminated later on by the time of Malachi and such. But all acknowledge that you can't do polyandry, a woman with multiple husbands. So this woman was married to seven different husbands. Whose spouse will she be in this you can almost see him going, resurrection. For those listening on the radio, I'm putting up quote marks here. Right? And so they think they've got him, right? But what's awesome is Jesus' response. If you look at both Matthew's and Luke's version there in Luke chapter 20 especially, he says, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. Whoa, wait a minute. So what was Jesus saying to these Sadducees? He knew they were alluding to Tobit, and he refers to it as scripture.
Uh-huh.
He says, not knowing the scripture nor the power of God. And then notice, Jesus then refers to part of the Torah that everybody accepts. He says, for what did Moses say at the bush, right? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. In other words, referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the present as if they're alive. So guess what? They are alive.
Uh-huh.
I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he ends up by saying, for God is not the God of the dead. If you go down to, I'm skipping a little bit here for time's sake, but down to verse 38, God is the God of the living, not of the dead, for all live unto him. So in one fell swoop, he actually this time sides with the Pharisees. I mean, often he hammers both sides, but in this case,
yeah,
he sided with the Pharisees. And he in one fell swoop tells us he believes Tobit
to be scripture.
He believes in the natural immortality of the soul and so forth. So he comes down on the side of the Pharisees. So when you know these sort of background situations that are going on, you see, oh my goodness, of course, Jesus would have been raised. And then when you understand that the Septuagint, which is basically the Bible that Jesus would have been raised with, the apostles were raised with, this was the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures that was translated between around 250 to 100 BC when it was finally completed, That's the Bible they were raised on. In fact, my friend, of the 300 roughly quotes in the New Testament from the Old Testament, 250 out of three, roughly, it's not exactly, but about 250 out of the 300 come from the Septuagint. And the Septuagint had all of these books, my friend. So, of course, they would have been familiar with it. And this is why, not only from Jesus do we see here, but in the epistles, I mentioned the Apostle Paul, but we could go on. I mean, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, obviously refers to 2 Maccabees, because it talks about what's fascinating here. If you're, and I'll leave it with this, we could do more. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we have what's called the Great Hall of Faith chapter, right? It starts with Abel, the sacrifice of Abel,
right?
And recounts the stories of all the great saints of the Old Testament. And you can follow it, you know, from Abel in Genesis all the way through to when you get to verse 35, 2 Maccabees, because it refers to these men who refused deliverance, in other words, accepted
yes,
death,
right,
and refused deliverance in view of the resurrection. There is only one story mm-hmm. that you have explicitly that, and that's in 2 Maccabees, the seven brothers who were encouraged by their mother. All they had to do was eat a little pork.
Yep.
And they would have been spared, but they refused to defile themselves. Why? And the mother encouraged them, consider the resurrection. So we have lots of texts like these that indicate the New Testament believer, Jesus, of course, the Son of God, and the New Testament believers accepted these books just as we do as Catholics.
Dan, thanks very, very much for that question. Let's try to go real quickly to Jonathan in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, listening on the EWTN app. Jonathan, your question as quickly as you can for Tim Staples.
Yes.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
So I'm a seeker, and I have been looking into infant baptism. And
yes.
One scholar in particular who I've talked to, Protestant, has claims that when in the New Testament they said they baptized entire households,
yes.
that Jews wouldn't have considered children to be part of that household.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that is
is there anything to that?
Jonathan, absolutely not. I would challenge that fellow to present his sources, because that is absolutely bogus. In fact, baptism, as you know, Jonathan, or as you may know, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, St. Paul refers to baptism as the circumcision of Christ. And that, of course, and St. Paul will do something similar in Galatians 3:27, when he says, we are baptized into Christ, where there is no longer male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Greek, for all, are one in Jesus Christ, right? Now, that doesn't mean we're not male or female anymore when we're baptized. What he's referring to is the fact that baptism is the circumcision of Christ, as he said in Colossians 2. And circumcision was for free male Jews, right? And Paul is saying, no, baptism, which is the fulfillment of circumcision, is for everyone, male, female, free or not free, Gentile or Jew. That's the key. Paul is referring to it as circumcision. My friend, how old were they when they were circumcised? 8 days old. The Jews had a profound sense of a child being not just a member of the household, but a member of the covenant family of God through circumcision, right? So the Jews had a lofty understanding of what that means. So when Paul, you know, in the New Testament, or even we could talk about Peter, when Peter says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 38, you know this, Jonathan, on Pentecost, he preaches Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, to a multitude of Jews. There were nothing but Jews there on Pentecost, right? And he says, and this promise is for you and for your children, he says in verse 39, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. They would have known full well that, oh yes, this promise. And he had just talked about faith and or repentance and baptism, right? Of course, is for our children. And so it goes with the household verses that you mentioned in 1 Corinthians 1:15, in Acts chapter 10, and Acts 16:33, and elsewhere. Whole households absolutely would include children.
Jonathan, thank you for that call. Thanks for everybody who called. Tim Staples, great hour. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, my friend.
Tomorrow, two priests with us. Father Vincent Serpa, first hour. Second hour, Father Tad Poholchek. Thanks, Nick, for the sound. Thanks, Kathleen, for the video. Thanks, Selena, for the phones. And thanks, Darren, for running everything. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.